Good morning.
Yeah, we can be bold with it.
Thank you. So it's an honor for me to be here today. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you a little bit about what my vision of the chaplaincy is for the McHenry Township Fire Protection District. You know, it's interesting when you talk about firefighters, we don't necessarily believe we need any help from anybody else. We think we can handle just about anything that we see or do. So when we asked Mike and Paul to help us, and they agreed, I thought, man, I'm not so sure these two guys know what they're getting into here. Firefighters can be tough to deal with, and and it's taken a long time. It's been 2 years, and we're still working on it, and it's taken a long time. But the main reason that I wanted Paul and Mike to help us was to minister to our firefighters. And I've been a career firefighter for 23 years. I've been in the fire service since 1983 and seen a lot of different things. And the fire service has progressed to start to understand that firefighters and paramedics are seeing things that typically you shouldn't see. And so Paul and Mike are helping us to deal with some of those things. I wrote down just a couple little notes so that I wouldn't forget some of the situations that Paul's going to help us with as we progress and continue to progress and see more and more things every day. Many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with the amount of heroin overdoses that our fire protection district deals with. And as a matter of fact, our fire protection district in northern Illinois, where we live, has one of the highest rates of overdoses in the country. And there are times we can tell when the heroin's being delivered based on where the calls are going. And we've had days where we've jumped from call to call to call, and we could tell exactly where the heroin was being delivered and the number of heroin overdoses that we were attending to. And you would think that, you know, big, strong, tough firefighters are able to deal with some of those things, but it's nice to have Paul and Mike to help us deal with some of that. Recently, we had a young man who parked his car and then walked down the bike path, and we found him in a tree. And again, you know, you think that that's just normal stuff that we deal with, but after a while, you see in those things over and over and over again, it starts to take its toll. It does. It has an effect on you. And again, the main reason for Paul. And I talk about Paul and Mike because they're a team, but the main reason for Paul is to come in and try to keep an eye on some of that. And I'll talk a little bit in a second here about the suicide rate in firefighters is continually going up. It's something that we're dealing with more and more and understanding a little bit more about. Some of the things that I've seen personally that affected me through the course of my career was right over on Route 120. Chapel Hill Road, was a real cold January morning, and there was a car accident, a critical car accident, and when I got on the scene, there was a 17-year-old girl who was pinned in the car. It was cold out. We could hardly even take the cold. It was raining, snowing, blowing, and this girl was in the front seat, and my responsibility was to take care of her, and we were doing fine. We were working on it, getting her out. It took us about 45 minutes to get her out. The helicopter landed right on 120. And as we were getting her out, she was asking me, you know, what's going on? Am I going to be okay? You know, and I really felt she was going to be okay. As soon as we freed her, something happened to her physically, and she went unconscious. We transported her to Frederick Hospital in Milwaukee, and she passed away up at Milwaukee, 17-year-old young lady. So those are the kinds of things that we see on a fairly regular basis. I can remember another situation with a early morning cardiac arrest of a father who had fallen down the stairs having a cardiac arrest. And I remember, and I'll never forget the vision of walking in. His wife was on the phone calling everybody she could, and her two young children were standing right over their father trying to figure out why he wasn't breathing. So those are the things that we're walking into, and those are the things that we're seeing on a regular basis. And we need Paul, and we need Mike to help us deal with some of those things. as much as we think we can deal with them, it's nice to have them to help us. The other thing that is really important for me and my vision of the chaplaincy is that I've asked Paul and Mike to come out to just about any call that they want to, and to attend the calls and be at the calls so that they can see what's going on, and especially the car accidents. And some of the firefighters don't understand why it is that Paul and Mike have the freedom to go to any call that they want to, and Mike and Paul just show up. And Paul's there and they show up, and our firefighters are wondering why that is. There's a specific call in my mind that I can remember that it sure would have been nice to have Paul there. Sure would have been nice to have Mike there. And it was not that long ago. There was a car accident on, again, at Chapel Hill Road in 120. It was a Corvette, took off in the intersection, hit the tree. And when I got there, they were working on the son, working on the young man from the Corvette in the ambulance, and his parents were running down the road at me, screaming as loud as they could scream. And she was trying to hold back her husband. The husband wanted to be in the ambulance. And there was five people in the back of the ambulance trying to save this young man's life, and I stopped him from getting in the ambulance. And he looked up at me, and his eyes were about this big, and he said, "If it was your son, would you want to be in the back of that ambulance?" And I thought to myself, yeah, I'd want to be in the back of that ambulance. And at that point, I thought to myself, it would be nice if there was somebody else that would be able to grab him and grab her and tend to them and tend to their needs, because I wasn't going to be able to do it. I was too busy, and I didn't have time to deal with him or her, but yet I understood the pain that they were going through. So it's important that we have the chaplaincy for that as well. And then finally, the last thing that's important to me as far as the chaplaincy is that Paul and Mike just get to know who our firefighters are. So that our firefighters, again, the firefighters, and it's not just the McHenry Township Fire Protection District firefighters. It's Cary, it's Nunda, it's Crystal Lake, it's Woodstock, it's any firefighter in the country. They think they're tough. Our job is typically going into a situation and trying to make it right, and so we have the confidence that we can do just about anything. But we're dealing with things too. We're dealing with problems at home. We're dealing with problems with marriage. We're dealing with problems with relatives. We're dealing with addiction. We're dealing with alcoholism. We're dealing with those issues too. We're not immune to it. And firefighters are going to be more likely to open up to Paul and to Mike if they get to know who they are. I've had the good fortune to get to know Paul and Mike, and as I was growing up and coming through the fire service, it certainly would have been nice to have somebody like Paul that I could go to and say, you know what, I got a little problem here. I got something going on in my life. You got a minute to talk to me. Sometimes that's all it's going to take, is for somebody just to listen to you just a little bit. And so I think Paul's done a great job of that, and I've encouraged Paul to continue to do that. I would like to thank all of you today for sharing Paul with us. We are very, very fortunate, and as we continue to get to know Paul, we understand why Paul is so important to all of you in your lives. Thank you for the opportunity today. I appreciate it.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Cary Olson. I'm the youth director here at, along with my wife at Alliance Bible Church. I'm going to take a minute just to pray together, and we'll receive this morning's offering. Father, I just want to thank you. It's so clear that there's a battle going on for the souls of people in community, in our community, in the town surrounding. And we just want to give you thanks that in the midst of the warfare that you have called people out to serve in many different ways. And your goal and desire is peace, grace, mercy, love and kindness to be manifested, and you draw people in to serve in different ways. We want to thank you for our fire department, for those that serve there, for those that are serving on the police force and other locations, even over at the hospital, and the difficulties that they're being confronted with on a daily basis. We pray for families, for young and old, for those that are wrestling, for those today that will suffer injury in many different ways and need assistance. And I want to thank you for the way that there's people many times at the end of the line when we call for help. That's a calling, it's a ministry, it's a grace orientation, and we want to thank you for that. We also want to thank you this morning for those that you call out as well into spiritual leadership and to serve in that component in the community. And we ask for your great blessing on Paul and Mike and on others as well that are serving in a role that seems against all odds, but get up every morning, get down on their knees and intercede and ask for your mercy and grace and empowerment. So come, Lord, we ask for your peace and mercy to be established in our communities and in the lives of those that are serving so that they can fulfill the mission of which that you have called them to. And thank you for that calling as they recognize it and take up the mantle each and every day, both on the days that are easy and full of love and grace and celebration, as well as the ones that are difficult. We now pray for this morning's offering. We ask that you would use it to continue the work that you have accomplished and will continue to accomplish here through Alliance Bible Church and in your church around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Will you join me in prayer? Dear Father in heaven, we pray that you would be present here among us as we hear your holy word proclaimed. By the power of your Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds to the messages found in this word. By our hearing and understanding, may we grow in our appreciation of the precious gift which you have given to us in the pastoral ministry. Amen. If you really want to see a child's face light up in the days following the Christmas holiday, simply ask the question, what did you get for Christmas? What did you find under the tree this year? That child will most certainly have an answer for you. And it doesn't matter whether you are 6 years old or 26 or 76. We all like Christmas presents. Christmas gifts are precious to us, no matter what our age might be. But why? For us, as people of God, we know that those Christmas gifts are really representations, are really there to point us to the greatest Christmas gift of all, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. St. John, in the first chapter of his gospel, reminds us, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." For us as Christians, every Christmas gift is a reminder. It points us to the greatest Christmas gift of all, Christ our Savior. But those precious Christmas gifts of ours have more than a symbolic meaning. They are also expressions of love. In someone's heart and mind, you were special enough, you were cared enough about, that they gave to you a tangible expression of their love. Christmas presents, when you think about it, are really someone's not so subtle way of saying to you, "I love you." And on still another level, that precious gift has a practical value. It is a purposeful gift. That new sweater not only looks good on you, but feels so warm and cozy on a cold February morning. That new table saw will help you complete that DIY project that you've got going down the basement with greater skill and ability. That new laptop computer will allow you to Skype with your grandparents more often, and yes, play those video games. Christmas gifts are precious because they are both loving and purposeful. This morning, as we have gathered to commission Pastor Paul Martin as a fire service chaplain serving the McHenry Township Fire Protection District, we want to talk about another kind of precious gift. In our consideration, we are going to allow the words of St. Paul to the Ephesians to guide us. The great apostle leaves absolutely no room for doubt. Pastors, yes, chaplains, are a precious gift from God. St. Paul writes, "He," meaning our Lord himself, "is the one who gave these gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers." Right there it is. Our Lord gives pastors, spiritual shepherds, chaplains to his people. Our Lord gave to you, God's people here at Alliance Bible Church, Pastor Martin. God gave him to you as a precious spiritual gift to you. And why? Why does God give such gifts? First and foremost, he does it because he loves you. As with all gifts, they are motivated by God's love for you and me. James, in his epistle, writes, Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The gift of a pastor to a congregation is a loving gift from our God and Father in heaven. And the gift of a pastor is a purposeful gift. That purposefulness is the emphasis of St. Paul's message to the Ephesians. The apostle defines for us the threefold purpose of a pastor. Purpose number one, to prepare God's people for works of service. The ministry shout of God's people should not be, "Go get 'em, pastor." Rather, it should be, "Pastor, prepare us for ministry." From the pulpit, in the Bible class, in committee and board meetings, and yes, in private one-to-one times, a pastor is there helping his people to better understand how they can live out the call God has made to them to live each day as His children. The ministry of a congregation, the ministry of a pastor, needs to help in focusing your attention on how to be more effective Christian parents, helping you to translate God's Word into the day-to-day ethics that you need to function out there in the business world, on helping you to love your neighbor and to give witness to your faith in the things that you do and say. A pastor is a precious gift from God to prepare all of you for the work of ministry. Purpose number two, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. You know, the local congregation is one of the most amazing organisms ever conceived. In terms of age, you have babes in arms and those who are entering the 10th decade of life. In terms of education, you have people who may never have finished high school and others who can put all kinds of graduate diplomas on their wall. In terms of politics, you have some folks who think that Donald Trump is just what America needs in the White House, and others who hope that Senator Elizabeth Warren will replace him in 16 months. How? Out of that much diversity, and I've only scratched the surface, how do you bring about unity among God's people? How do you translate phrases like brothers and sisters in Christ or the family of God so they're not just verbiage but are a reality? St. Paul gives us the answer to that question in this same chapter 4 of Ephesians. He writes, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." When church members focus their attention on their differences, unity is impossible. When church members focus their attention on the things of the faith that unify them, then unity is possible in a congregation. A pastor cannot bring about unity in a congregation all by himself, but he is God's precious gift to you to lead you to the unity which God can make possible among you. Purpose number three, to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. God has called His people to be childlike. Sometimes we make a mess of things, and we are more childish than childlike. A goal for ministry in a Christian congregation is a maturing Christian faith and life, becoming more like Jesus. There's an old Sunday school song that says, I want to be like Jesus, God's well-beloved Son. I want to be like Jesus, the pure and holy one. The final verse of that song distills both the problem and the solution. Alas, I'm not like Jesus, as anyone can see. Gentle Spirit, thy gentle Spirit, Savior, send, and make me like to thee. A pastor cannot magically bring about spiritual maturity within a congregation. He is God's precious gift to lead you to the spiritual maturity which God's Word can and will accomplish in your lives. Today, all this talk about pastoral ministry as a precious gift from God really takes on an additional meaning. When a pastor becomes a fire service chaplain, the congregation is really sharing their precious gift with others. First of all, they are sharing that precious gift with the men and women of the fire service. Men and women who are sworn to protect life and property in their community. As Chief Heeman pointed out to us earlier, that job today is not getting any easier. That is becoming more and more challenging all the time. The men and women of the fire service see hurt and suffering that few in this world see. A fire chaplain can share with them the love of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the hope that transcends the misery of this world, and the peace which calms fears and helps people to face a brand new day. Second, when a pastor serves as a fire service chaplain, a congregation is sharing their precious gift with the community. When an ambulance or an engine pulls up on a scene, somebody is in crisis. Somebody is having the worst day of their lives. In that situation, a fire service chaplain can be God's person in that place, sharing God's love, God's peace, and God's hope with people who are hurting. I would like to thank all of you, God's people here at Alliance Bible Church, for lovingly sharing the precious gift of your pastor with the McHenry Township Fire Protection District and with the greater McHenry community. You are most certainly being a blessing. And now, Pastor Martin, will you please rise and step forward? I'd like to ask Chaplain Hine, Chief Heeman, and Chief Horace to come join us, as well as the church's elders, deacons, and leadership team. Please come forward. Come join us. Pastor Paul Martin, I ask you in the presence of God, who has called you into his ministry, and in the presence of his people here gathered in this place, will you faithfully discharge the responsibilities of fire service chaplain, giving witness to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in word and deed, serving the McHenry Township Fire Protection District and the greater McHenry community? Then answer, I will, trusting in the grace and power of God.
I will.
Trusting in the grace and power of God.
Trusting in the grace and power of God.
Thank you. Having heard your faithful proclamation, I commission you as a fire service chaplain in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you pray with me? Dear Father in heaven, you have granted to your church and your people the precious, loving, and purposeful gift of the pastoral ministry. May we always hold that gift dear. You have called Pastor Paul Martin into the special pastoral role of serving as a fire service chaplain. We pray your blessing on his ministry. By your Holy Spirit's power, help him to use the talents and abilities with which you have blessed him to serve the men and women of the McHenry Township Fire Protection District and the greater McHenry community. May he share the message of your love, hope, and peace with those who are hurting, with those who find their lives in crisis. May he, in word and deed, be a messenger of your grace. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Pastor Green, please.
On this day, consecrated to worship God, we have the privilege of gathering to consecrate our pastor to a broader ministry than simply our church. Will you bow with me as we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we worship you on a day consecrated, set apart for you and for worship. We rejoice that this day our pastor has been commissioned as a chaplain for this area. We know many of our friends and family and neighbors daily are confronted by evil and the chaos it creates in this world, and that they need the message of the Savior Jesus Christ and the comfort that comes from the Holy Spirit and the relief that can be found when they are restored to their Creator. We pray now that your blessing will be upon Pastor Paul and the others who serve as first responders in this area, that they may know of your grace and mercy and compassion, that they may be agents through which your grace, mercy, and compassion are expressed to our community. For Father, you have given them to us in this season, and they have brought blessing to us. And so we set them apart for your greater purpose, to be agents of your blessing to those who find themselves in the confrontation with evil and crisis. We thank you, God, that your grace and mercy are without limit, that your compassion has no end, that you care for all people, just as the rain today falls on the righteous as well as the unrighteous. So your grace and compassion are available to all, deserving and undeserving. And therefore, Father, because of who you are, we can freely give our pastor to this broader area of service. We thank you for all you have done for us and for who you are, and that you have given us the privilege of worshiping the Creator of everything that is, ever was, and ever will be. For there is none like you, O great God of heaven and earth. We worship you. Amen.
You go back and be seated.
Amen. What a blessing. Thank you, Pastor Jerry, for that word of encouragement. Well, we're going to be singing our closing hymn. 573, God of Our Fathers. So if you're using the hymnal for our guests, if you'd like to use something tangible in front of you, those are the brown hymnals, right, books right in front of you. But let's all stand as we sing God of Our Fathers. God of, of our fathers, whose almighty hand leads forth in beauty all the starry band of shining worlds in splendor through the skies. Our grateful songs before the songs arise. Thy love divine hath led us in the past. In this free land, by thee our lot is cast. Be thou our ruler, guardian, guide, and stay. Thy word our law, thy paths the chosen way. From war's alarms, from deadly pestilence, be thy strong arm our ever sure defense. Thy true religion in our hearts increase. Thy bounteous goodness nourish us in peace. Refresh thy people on their toilsome way. Lead us from night to never-ending day. Fill all our lives with love and grace divine. And glory, Lord, and praise be ever thine.
Amen. Amen. Would you join me as we close our time together in prayer? Father, we thank you for great, joyous opportunities. There's mountaintop highs. There's also difficult lows. We thank you for the men and women that are serving in so many different capacities. We've seen just a small smattering of that this morning. There's many others, Lord, that get up every morning faithfully serving communities, serving people. And we want to thank you that even if they don't recognize it, these are extensions of your grace and mercy into the world. And Lord, we thank you for this commissioning, for those that are serving you, looking after not only the physical and emotional needs, but also the spiritual needs that are represented in a community as large as this. And many there are, Lord. The battle is fierce, and we ask that you would give the grace of your Spirit in such measure to actually meet that ferocity and go even in superabounding grace beyond it to see victory day after day meted out in the hearts and lives of people. We call upon you, our God, our Savior, our King, our Master, our Lord, to fulfill that which you have promised to us. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Manifested through your people, through the church, and into the world, bringing salvation to all. And we give you thanks this morning in your Son's great and precious name. And all God's people said, amen. We'd like to invite you to come downstairs if you have time for refreshments and to visit with one another. Have a beautiful day.